Welcome to Reclaiming the Republic. This show is sponsored by Mobius Strip Press. I am G.R. Mobley. If you go to my site, reclaimingtherepublic.org, you will have access to my content and support documents and links. This is an educational grassroots program leading in restoring the Republic and placing the federal government back into the scope and framework of the Constitution once again. This show is also sponsored by reclaimingtherepublic.org, 1798part2.org, and republicreview.org. You are listening to the only show that asserts and provides you with a constitutional solution in dealing with federal government overreach. Do you want to be able to buy a toilet that will flush 5 gallons or however many gallons of water you want to get rid of the things you put in that toilet? Instead of these, you know, water saving 2 times flush, 4 times flush, just to get that stuff out of your house. The only way we're going to be able to get back to a consumer-driven and a free market as well as a free society is to get the federal government out of all of the things that it has no constitutional footing in. And therefore, that's why this show is critical, and that's why you need to learn about Republic Review, the auditing process. And I'm going to get into that detail today. This is a very, very big day. It's the biggest day of the year, because it's summer solstice, as you know. So the number to call in is 215-867-8255 or 215-TOP-TALK. Now, you can get all of my podcasts on reclaimingtherepublic.org. I have both my local podcasts that I've done in California and in the Spokane area. And so those are out there and available. But if you go to Red State Talk Radio on reclaimingtherepublic.org, that is where you can get our podcast. And again, there's lots of reasons why, but I'm just going to move on so that I don't necessarily take up too much time in repeating some of these things, because I've got a lot of content that I want to get into. I was hoping to be able to finish the Pennsylvania ratification debates either today or at least this week. And so getting through this train wreck, because that's what I call the news agencies, because they've just got cameras everywhere for every car in this train wreck, so that we can be horrified by all of the carnage that is going on throughout the world. And when I say train wreck, I'm talking about our constitutional crisis. If you just imagine the Constitution being the center of everything, and if you can imagine all of these things that are stemming from supposedly the Constitution, which has nothing to do with it, it's all unconstitutional, but these violations of the Constitution are creating so much carnage and so many problems. If we clean the mess up, this is all about marketing, folks. If we clean the mess up, then over 90% of all of our problems will go away. And then we can actually focus on our own lives and our own state government and all of the problems that our state government may be doing that has been, I think, with duplicity, because a lot of times the state governments use the federal government like a tool. Oh, well, they're making us do this. Well, they have no constitutional footing to do that. The federal government can't make the states do anything. It's the states that make the federal government do things. It is through the amendment process that delegates powers to the federal government for them to do those things. It's through the states that the Constitution was even ratified to even create the federal government. You got to remember, the states are the parents in this child-parent relationship, and the federal government is the child. It was created by the states via their contract, or via that Constitution was written for and by them. And so, as I always say, I did scan the news today, and I saw multiple cars of carnage, but I saw no sign or news that the federal government is disbanding any of its tyrannical roles, responsibilities, and powers. Period. They're not going to do it. As a matter of fact, there's some news I'll get to today that what they're talking about doing. And this should be infuriating the state legislators. But anyway, let me get out to my one question that I have. If you happen to know, please call in. The number again is 215-867-8255 or 215-TOP-TALK, T-O-P-T-A-L-K. The question is, what or where in the Constitution gives the federal government the authority to create and manage land reservations for any race, culture, forestry, any type of purpose. I don't care what the purpose is, whether it's an endangered species area for the spotted owl. I don't care. Where in the Constitution does the federal government have any authority to be able to take and manage land that belongs to states? Show me. And I will be indebted to you forever for you being able to show me in the Constitution where these grants or this delegated power is coming from, because they sure have a lot of property and they sure are asserting a lot of authority, whether that be over the highway systems and or so forth and so on. So anyway, today's the day. It's summer solstice, like I said, but it also happens to be the kickoff for Red Pill Expo. If you are going to be streaming, you may want to make sure you tune in at the right time to watch Dead Man Talking. That is the second documentary on Lavoie Finicum. Jeanette is going to be speaking tonight. I saw her today. We talked. We will be having her on this show, and I hope to have her on a regular basis regarding her lawsuit for going after those people responsible for killing her husband. Just imagine that. Here you are trying to stand up for the Constitution and you get killed. Only under a tyrannical government do those types of things happen. And I am telling you that even though it seems like, oh, things are going to get better because we got Trump. No, they're not disbanding anything. That's why I say it every time, that there is no sign of the federal government disbanding anything. So the next set of communists that take over, like Obama, the Bushes, and so forth, when the next wave of communists take over, they're going to implement the exact same programs and even worse. They just keep on making it worse. That's why we just have to take advantage of the fact that Trump is in office. Who knows? When he gets confronted with this whole thing and he looks at it, he goes, you know what? Wow, I never knew this. I started off my show when Trump took office, and even before when he was campaigning, I was on the record for saying we now have a nomination for the Republican Party and a person on the ticket that's probably the most constitutionally illiterate president that we've ever had, because here is a man that has, I mean, most of our presidents have got a legal background or something where they go through some law, constitutional law, that type of stuff. In business, I mean, maybe the only constitutional law he may have gone through, and then again, it is unconstitutional. There's no such thing as constitutional law, by the way, but the only exposure he may have had is regarding labor law. The unconstitutionality programs, policies, and so forth that we call labor law that the federal government has usurped and put upon the states. Don't forget, in 1926, under Coolidge, who was a champion for the amendment, the federal government tried to amend the Constitution to grant them the authority to have control over child labor, only child labor, and the states rejected it. And so there is no amendment, I can tell you that, and the fact that they are relegating and dictating with programs, policies, and bureaucracies, and so forth, the Labor Department, well, then that is tyrannical government. And that is only one facet of tyrannical government that we're dealing with. So anyway, hopefully you can check out the Red Pill Expo. If you don't have a streaming pass, you can go to redpillexpo.org. I think you could still buy one. Do not forget to put in Griffin, G-R-I-F-F-I-N, and that will get you a discount. But back to that news and that train wreck, which has got you the most intoxicated, which is the one that you just can't turn away from, which one is so irresistible that you just have to stare? Is it immigration? Is it the tariffs? Maybe it's the IG report. Or how about what's just happened and what they're talking about today is the reorg of roles, unconstitutional roles, responsibilities, and powers that they're executing. Where they're talking about merging possibly the education and labor department. Well, now, if they were doing those things constitutionally, then that would be a good conversation to have, because it would talk about streamlining and hopefully making things more efficient. because I think that was the whole tone of what they're talking about in D.C., and I think that's what they were briefing the president today on. But it's all unconstitutional. And I would, you know, why isn't somebody in there just saying, hey, you know, you can't do this, and give them the empirical information and data, such as what I am providing you here. And why doesn't somebody just say, hey, we need to disband this and let the states do this? Why is it that we're even worrying about this? Let the states deal with this. And if the states don't want to deal with it, then make them amend the Constitution so that we can do it. And then we're doing it legitimately. I don't know if any honorable person wants to do things illegitimately. But anyway, I don't know. Maybe, how about this? How about this this next investment by NASA that is going to, over the next 10 years, actually be able to combat asteroids, or what they're calling the Near Earth Object Project. I can't make this stuff up. The Near Earth Object Project. Here is a project where they're going to basically have an array of weaponry that they're going to either try to destroy or pummel or push away asteroids that may actually happen to come close to hitting us. And I'm going, you know what? I think this kind of falls into the biblical thing. So I will give you that biblical thing, because we're at a hard break when we come back, because it just seems like they're just feeding us with all of this Hollywood, or they're in lockstep with the narrative of Hollywood. And we'll be right back after a word from our sponsors. Thank you so much. Most people resist change, but how would you like to be rewarded in at least two ways for considering a new dentist? Dr. Tracy believes your smile is a reflection upon him, and that is a mutually shared reward between both him and you. Another reward is improving your overall health by working with your dentist like Dr. Tracy and developing a strategy in maintaining your dental health. But how would you like a direct incentive in considering a new dentist? Dr. Tracy and his staff from time to time offer a special referral program. For every new patient you refer who becomes a patient, Dr. Tracy will reward you with $50 off your dental work. Consequently, if you refer five people, that's $250 off your dental work. Give them a call and ask for the details and the availability of the referral program by calling 466-6614 or go to VonTracyDDS.com. Again, that's 466-6614 or sign up at VonTracyDDS.com. I've been on the radio for a couple of years, and for over a decade, I have been providing content to help patriots understand what has to be done if we're going to save our Constitution and our Republic. Not one academic has been able to refute my argument for Republic Review, and even most conservative entertainers will not support Republic Review due to self-interest reasons. If you have not read my bullet point descriptions and executive summaries, you need to, so that you can understand what we all need to do. I am trying to give patriots the necessary knowledge to take back our Constitution and Republic. Go to reclaimingtherepublic.org so you can read my bullet points and view the Republic Review flowchart. You can even order my executive summaries, books, and other content to understand the simplicity of what we have to do. This way, you will know what, why, and how to support the reclaiming of our Republic. Again, please take a look at my content on reclaimingtherepublic.org so you can become a part of the solution. If you've listened to my show, Reclaiming the Republic, then you should understand that the Constitution is neither a living document nor a noble guide to governance. In accordance to Article 7, the Constitution is a hard, fast contract, and the states are the only stakeholders in this contract. Integral in contract law, the stakeholders or states possess the inherent authority to exercise oversight and enforcement over their contract. This means they can audit the federal government by the contract, and with Republic Review, they can enforce compliance to their constitution. Any single state can perform the audit, but when states begin to unite in the auditing process, this is what is referred to as Republic Review. Please read my argument for Republic Review, as well as my description of the Republic Review model, on reclaimingtherepublic.org. We even have a graphic flowchart that shows you how Republic Review works. If you want to learn more, contact me on Facebook or send me an email. Thank you. Okay, so the number to dial in is 215-TOP-TALK or 215-867-8255. Do not forget my three C's when you dial in. And let's get on with the dialogue.
And so, again, as I was going into break, NASA is now going to spend, I don't know, billions, maybe a couple trillion dollars on creating a weapon system in space. And actually, there was an interesting book, and I forget the author. It wasn't Jonah Goldberg, but it was somebody else. I need to look it up, and I will tell you who that author was. But this author basically was making the assertion that the next war will come from space, but it will be his assertion was more of a land base, whether it be the Japanese or whether it be the Russians or whomever, because he was basically saying that there will be a weaponizing of space and the moon and so forth, because that's the next frontier. But I believe Hollywood, if you look at all of the movies that we've had that have just been fascinating, how America is going to be attacked by these foreign entities. And it's kind of interesting how NASA is, because remember, there was even this one where an asteroid was going to destroy the Earth. It seems like it's almost like a programming. We get fed all of this entertainment. It creates a narrative. It creates this dialogue. It starts working its way up into a hysteria. Oh, you know how close these things are? You know, we could be wiped out just like that tomorrow. And so next thing you know, now NASA is, this stuff has grown legs, and NASA's going to be going into a militarizing of space. And there's no doubt in my mind this goes hand in hand with that new space defense system that Trump was talking about. But it also goes hand in hand with having weaponry in space, because clearly, if you understand the Bible predicted that the world would unite when Christ comes again to fight against him and his angels and so forth. And so, and we're all going to be fooled that, you know, it's just playing out like, really? Is this really happening? Because it seems like we're going right down that path. And so I don't know if I'm the only one that happens to notice these types of things or makes these connections, but it just seems like there's the justifications that they are using to create a system and to create a process that, you know, it may be needed, but there is no forecast that we'll ever hit an asteroid within the next 100 years or anything like that. And so, I mean, give me some scientific evidence that we're getting that close to where we need to, you know, be concerned with it, because these guys are mapping all of this crap in space. And so there's no doubt in my mind that this is more of an exercise of creating and a part of a space defense system. Anyway, moving on. And if one of those trains on that Carnage collision that is occurring every day happens to be the immigration situation, then here's a good solution. Deport every person that hits our border in the process of intentionally, illegally entering into the United States, deport them right back to their country of origin, whether they be children, adults, or what have you. Deport them, get a big building in each of these countries, take them to that building, and then let the parents come and get their kids. And it would be cheaper to get the airfare and get these people back to their home countries and then let them apply in the home country for political asylum or whatever, humanitarian asylum or what have you. Because right now, we're just taking their word for it. Let them prove in the countries, you know, that they're literally, their life is in danger or their political problems or so forth. We cannot afford to be overran by illegal or by trespassing, allowing people to just literally trespass and take over. And the real cure to our biggest problem of immigration is getting rid of the entitlements. Let's just get rid of welfare and push this back to the states. Because right now, welfare is being paid for by the printing press called the U.S. Treasury, or actually the Fed. And if we get them to no longer print money for welfare and handing out food stamps and so forth, then I don't know how many people are going to want to come here if they don't get the freebies anymore. Anyway, if you have read my book, though, I mean, this is just, if you want to call it out-of-the-box thinking, or at least looking around a corner, I also have a very similar concept regarding the penal system. We need to completely revamp our penal system by outsourcing long-term inmates. In other words, if you're going to be in jail for anything a year or more, then we need to start shipping these people out to foreign countries because it would be so much cheaper. Our worst in our society do not deserve the best, the good, or even decent treatment and facilities. I mean, so why should we allow them to be? I mean, if they're in some godforsaken place, whether that be in the Sahara Desert or in a jungle or wherever, and they want to escape, then they're really taking their lives in their own hands, because it's not like they're just going to be able to have a buddy with a car ready to go. I mean, getting out of jail is almost a death sentence. So why make it any easier, and why make it even attractive that they can go get a college degree, or life isn't that bad? I know life is bad, but Eldridge Cleaver clearly stated that he was freer in an American jail than he was walking down the street in a communist country. That's why he came back from running on the lam and basically did his time, you know, and became an advocate for the Constitution, and became an advocate for the constitutional principles, individual liberty and individual sovereignty. And I would just ask you to go look up that man's life, what he was, what he did as a communist, as a Black Panther, and then going on the lam, and then coming back and dedicating his life to individual liberty and sovereignty. It is a, you know, it is a awakening of what would happen and what does happen when people actually are forced into realizing what liberty really is. So anyway, I also wanted to explain why, because sometimes I don't get into this enough, and people are, you know, very focused on the federal elections. And why am I so focused on the states? It is because only the states, and I do say this, but maybe I don't emphasize this enough, that only the states have the authority to step in and make the necessary changes. Anything that has to do with the Constitution requires the authority of the states. The Constitution was just ink on paper until enough states ratified it. It didn't take the president and an EO from the president, or the Supreme Court ruling, or Congress to pass a law to make the Constitution relevant and legal of force. It required so many states. If you want to make a change to allow the federal government to do anything or take away anything that they're doing, it requires the states, and it requires 3/4 of the states to do that. That is why the focus has to be on the states, to get them to wake up, to assert their parental authority over this child government. And so my primary focus, as you know, for this show is really the state legislatures. And every once in a while, I'll tell you at the beginning of the show that this show is dedicated to getting constitutional state legislators into office. And I'm going to ask you over the course of the next couple of months to send money to this candidate, send money to this candidate, because I have a signed pledge that they are committed to auditing the Constitution and standing up against federal tyranny. So how can we focus on states and these states' races is by listening to this show, or by going to Reclaiming the Republic, because I'm going to have endorsements and I'm going to ask you to contribute to these people, have links to their campaigns and so forth. That way, we can actually help. So you do not have to live in Wyoming to contribute to Wyoming becoming the David to stand up against Goliath. And that's the metaphor I created a few weeks, if not a month ago or more, about getting enough people in a state legislature to create a David and Goliath scenario. Now, David alone cannot take down this super Goliath. It requires 13 states at a minimum. And what I believe, as soon as we get one state, the courage of David will spread throughout the flyover states or these very red states. And these states will basically stand up and we will have 13 to 20 to 25. Next thing you know, when we have 30 states, the full force of and the teeth of the states will be able to come forth and actually create force, enough force to get this stuff done. And so I'm at a hard break, but I have a little bit more to explain why I'm not focused on the federal elections. So I'm going to get into the federal elections as soon as we get back. So please stay tuned and thank you so much. Most of my listeners understand the importance in having strategic goals, but do you have a long-term strategy for your dental health? Too many people are only focused on whitening their smile. I understand the appearance of your teeth can give you confidence, but this can risk your future health in only addressing the cosmetics of your teeth, and many dentists will take your money just to do this. They say failing to plan is planning to fail, and if you don't have a long-term strategy for your teeth and dental health, then you need a new dentist. Every dentist provides a dental plan, but Dr. Tracy and his staff develops a strategy to help you maintain and restore your dental health to what it needs to be. To develop a strategy in maintaining your dental health, connect with Dr. Von Tracy, DDS.com. That's VonTracyDDS.com. So you too can develop a strategy in maintaining your dental health. The reason progressives are effective in instituting their policies is because they are united ideologically, financially, and socially. In addition, almost every billionaire in the world is funding a vast array of different groups, and these groups' efforts are to undermine our republic and our constitution. If you don't believe me, just Google donors to the Open Society Foundations. The only way we're going to successfully combat these efforts and take back our liberties, like our education system, healthcare, state lands, housing, labor, and many other roles, responsibilities and powers that belong to the states is by you and I and local businesses getting involved in supporting political programs and efforts based on constitutional principles. The best way to do this is supporting result-oriented organizations designed to take back our lost liberties. The ultimate result-oriented effort is Republic Review. So please consider contributing to the show and the organizations and activities that we are supporting by going to reclaimingtherepublic.org and go to the contribution page, and you can become a listed supporter of liberty. To become a citizen, one must take an oath to support and defend the Constitution. Those of us who are naturally born citizens are obligated and duty-bound to fulfill the same oath, even though we're not required to take it, because it is implied upon us at birth. This is why I cannot emphasize enough the importance in supporting businesses who are supporting our Constitution. We have to stop supporting businesses that have chosen to hide behind political correctness, and obviously we must stop supporting progressive businesses who are working to undermine our republic and our Constitution. Do not let businesses or organizations convince you that they are supporting the Constitution by supporting protests for social justice. By definition, social justice is the distribution of wealth, opportunities, and privileges within a society. In other words, they're calling for socialism, which is incompatible with individual liberty and individual sovereignty and our Constitution. With that, please consider supporting businesses who advertise on this show and this radio station. That number to dial in is 215-TOP-TALK, 215-867-8255. And again, don't forget those three C's. And if you're ready to call in, the lines are open. And so as we're going into break, I was clearly stating that the focus needs to be on these states because it's the states that can actually stop this. However, it does not mean that we turn our backs on the federal elections and what needs to happen in the federal elections, because we need to maintain a level of control. If we can get a better constitutional Republican libertarian, I really don't care. And as a matter of fact, if you've listened to my shows before, you'll know that I'm calling for a merger without acquisition of political parties. I believe the Constitution Party and the Libertarian Party and the Republican Party need to start working together. And even though the Republican Party doesn't have to, I think that they should be inviting more constitutional-minded and stronger constitutional candidates. That way you can have a good level of competition in ensuring, I mean, if you've got a good constitutional candidate that is going to stand up against federal tyranny, the Republicans should be supporting that, regardless of what that brand or label is that they're wearing, whether it's Republican, Libertarian, Constitutional, I don't care. And that's why the parties have to put the Constitution first. And I will truly tell you that if the Republicans do that, you'll probably find that a lot of the Libertarians and Constitutional parties will come back to the Republican Party. It will be a merger without acquisition. Those other two parties, even though they're really not that relevant, will become even less relevant because the Republican Party will be taking over the narrative of the high road, taking over the narrative of individual liberty and individual sovereignty first, that the Constitution must come first, that compliance to the Constitution must come first. And so I'm working on setting up a vetting system that not only includes the local platform, so you can have your questions for the local platform, but you have to start vetting candidates on the Constitution. If they don't know, because they have to put their arm to the square and they have to take an oath that they're going to support, defend, and obey the Constitution. Well, what does that mean if you don't know what that Constitution is? And so they need to be able to start asking questions. And so I've got to provide a very good list of types of questions that need to go to those candidates so that when the candidates are asked, you can tell whether they're constitutionally minded or not. And it's not about spoon feeding, but I will tell you that we need to start nurturing and developing good constitutional candidates now. That's why I say that at the end of this election cycle, the first thing that has to happen is you look at, you know, the outcome of the elections and say, do all these candidates really meet our needs? If not, now is the time to start finding replacements and letting these people know that you have expectations, that you are going to replace them if they don't live up to these expectations, and you're working now gainfully to find that person to replace them. That way, they get the message that you actually own and control that brand, that label that they're wearing, that they're not getting that endorsement from you in 2 years or 4 years, whatever their term is, so that either they are actually servicing the brand and you and the constituents who bought into that brand, or they're gone and you have somebody that is actually going to represent the brand now. And that's how we move forward in purging the system of all these rhinos and these self-serving politicians. Not that they're all that way, but there's way too many. Way too many. And it's even within the party. We need to start vetting the party itself. If you are part of the party and you become a PCO or you become a voting member of a central committee, you should be taking an oath, which means that you should be doing and following things that put the Constitution first and not the party. Not party platforms or party machinations and agendas. We have to put the Constitution over the party, period. And so it's really important that we actually keep focused. So two things that each I'm asking people to do. One is to contribute financially. And I'm not asking for $100. If you could write a $1,000 check, great. But if you can just send $2, $5, whatever you can just throw at these candidates, a few thousand people sending a few dollars, you know, in each week or a couple of weeks, a month or what have you, that's a lot of money in these races. And so need to have you throw money into these states that we're focusing on. And then I also need you to do the damage control work. And the way we do that is we actually start stimulating and educating your local electorate on why they need to vote for this particular person by doing that damage control. And the best way to do damage control is through marketing. You got to understand that we're in this immigration mess because of the Democrats and globalists, period. And that's why we need to start pushing the constitutional perspective and identifying and putting the award, the label, whatever you want to call it, the goose egg or whatever, you know, the rotten thing you want to put on. But that's what you have to start pinning on these progressives, these secular progressives who are literally trying to destroy this country. So use marketing and say, you know, we're only looking at this problem. It has nothing to do with Trump. We all know the history proves that this has been a long time boiling and that nobody's been doing this and it's all a part of this. So in the primaries, if you have an opportunity to bump out a progressive that is wearing a Republican label, then now is the time to put those labels on them. Or if not, if your primaries, which have already passed, most of them have, unfortunately, but now's the time to start putting those labels on the progressives. If you've got a Democrat running, then say that person is a person of the globalist party, those who have contributed to our immigration problems. Why would we want to continue to vote for them? So it's using marketing. It's the same thing with the economy. There is a real problem when we have more work than we have people, and there are still lots of people that are stuck. I don't even say stuck. They want to be a part of the entitlement state because they're entitled. That is a real problem. And so that's why you need to market that and say, look, we still have record level people, or we still have way too many people on food stamps, welfare, and so forth, when there are jobs that people can actually start taking. And let the Democrats wear the shame of the fact that they are the party of indolence and non-productivity and non-contributors to society because they're takers. And let them wear that label. I know this is really broad brushing, but the real fact is that they don't care. They want to create these systems so people get on it, become dependent, and vote for them. And that's exactly how you have to label them. Same thing with taxes. They want more taxes to take from the producers to give to those who take. And now the states who have been screaming, South Dakota being one, shame on them. But now South Dakota has won their little battle with the Supreme Court because the Supreme Court seems to make this ruling, or a federal court has made the ruling that states should be able to get internet sales tax from Amazon or from Overstock or these other big online retailers that don't have brick and mortar and aren't competing. And so that's another form of marketing, that now if you realize that you have to pay more money for goods on the internet, you can thank the progressives who have been entrenched within the court system and so forth, because they're all about taking and redistribution of wealth. And that is precisely what this ruling is, because that's what taxes do. And the land hostages via the BLM and so forth, the BLM taking property, whether it be the forestry as well, whether it be the EPA, these are all federal agencies that are taking land as hostages, and now states can't be productive. That you use that as a marketing label. So you go through all of these different marketing labels and you start throwing them out. Whenever a Democrat starts talking about this, then make them own it. Make them actually have to wear the shame of those are the oppressors. The reason the West is just in a catastrophic fire season every summer is because the federal lands are being mismanaged deliberately so that they create these fires and create these areas as uninhabitable, because this is about Agenda 21 and forcing people to move towards the cities so that, you know, this rural area becomes even more rural and more uninhabitable. And that way they can control the masses is better. And we should not be taking this lying down. These states can take this back, start logging, and no longer have forest fires. We didn't have these problems way back when I was growing up. And that's because the federal government weren't controlling these lands. We have to take these lands back. Education, there's a lot more I can get into, and we will as soon as we get back after the break. Thank you so much. It's that time of year to get that dental checkup and cleaning. I know many of us are creatures of habit, and we tend to settle for what we know, and many of us are procrastinators. I was that way myself with my past dentist, jumping from one dentist chair to the next. From all the hopping, I've learned that all dentists are not equal, and I would challenge you to consider checking out Dr. Von Tracy. I work hard to make a living, and I'm not one to throw my hard-earned money away on just a good dentist. That's why it took me a couple of years to find a great dentist. From the excellence of his staff to the quality of the work, Dr. Tracy is the difference. I know it's time to put standards to our loyalty, so I would ask you to give Dr. Tracy a try by setting up your next appointment with him. Just go to VONTRACYDDS.com or call them at 509-466-6614. Again, sign up at VONTRACYDDS.com. Reclaiming the Republic is more than an educational radio show. My intent is to also work with you and local leadership to promote matters of the Constitution and self-governance. This way we can all promote constitutional awareness within our communities and with our elected officials and public leaders. If you love liberty and sovereignty and recognize the federal tyranny that is threatening our lives, then we are asking for your help. And here are a few ways you can help. Spread the word about this radio show, Reclaiming the Republic. It is the only radio show in the world asserting a constitutional solution to federal overreach. Download and share our podcasts and content. Read, like, follow, and share our Moby Strip Press and Reclaiming the Republic pages on Facebook. Follow us on Twitter at Moby Strip News. Get informed about local groups in the area and get involved. Most importantly, become a constitutional warrior with your local leaders and demand that they begin applying constitutional tests to what they are doing and who they are supporting. Thank you. To set the record straight, Republic Review is neither an Article 5 convention nor a convention of states. In accordance with Article 5 of the Constitution, this convention requires 2/3 of the states to apply to Congress to convene a convention with the intent to amend the Constitution. This convention is unable to solve our real problem, which is non-compliance to the Constitution, and would be dangerous to convene at this time. In contrast, Republic Review is the process of the states exerting its constitutional authority over the Constitution. An audit does not require an application to Congress. This authority is inherent to principal stakeholders of a contract. Why do we need Republic Review? Because this is the only way the states can deal with the federal encroachments into roles, responsibilities, and powers that belong to the states. To learn more about Republic Review, please go to reclaimingtherepublic.org to read my content and my model on the audit and Republic Review process. Okay, if you want to join in on the dialogue, you need to call 215-TOP-TALK. That's 215-867-8255. And so where was I? I was talking about land hostages or holding the land as a hostage. It's the same thing with this unconstitutional Department of Energy. The reason we're paying sky-high prices for electricity and everything else, it has nothing to do with providing the service, and it has everything to do to maximize profits. These public utilities are profit-based, and they should never be profit-based. They should not be paying millions of dollars to CEOs and so forth. This should be literally, and I don't want to get in trouble over this, but this really should be a no-brainer. I believe that you have a monopoly. There is no competition when it comes to electricity, so why is it not a government-provided service? Period. And not a federal government. The federal government has no business in overseeing and managing our electrical grid. I believe the states should be doing this, and the states should create a cooperative with a strategy in moving us into the 21st century and out of the 19th century. So anyway, or the early 20th century at least. But back to education, because I threw that out there. I've gone into this several times. If you listen to my podcast on education and how it has caused the moral decay, let the progressives wear that label. They started taking over and they monopolized the narrative in our school system, and these mass shootings should be worn on their necks and put at their feet. The fact that they are allowing these mass shootings to happen instead of undoing all of the godlessness that they've done to our school systems and allow prayer and allow the morality to return to our education system so that we can become a moral society again. Until they do, then you need to start holding them accountable to that and use that as marketing. Why do we want another progressive to ram more of their agenda down our throat? They're sexualizing our kids. And as a matter of fact, child sex trafficking is occurring based on our school systems. If you listen to my interview with Aaron Tilbury of the Jonah Project, he talks about how young men in schools are taught how to pick out the girls that are vulnerable and get them out of school and into sex trafficking. And then these girls just disappear because nobody missed them or what have you. And I don't want to say nobody, but it nobody is doing enough about this. As anybody can point out, the real problem is the demand. It's the demand side, not the supply side. It's just like with our drug problem and everything else. The reason our society has a demand for such immoral behavior is because of our education system. I'm telling you, if you look at the facts, our education system is the Sunday school for secular godlessness, and it is sexualizing our children, and it is enabling them in believing that they can do all of these immoral things. And they've also taken over society to where they are taking away the consequences of bad behavior, which I will call sin. Drinking, smoking, sex, STDs, those types of things. We're spending billions of dollars for medical systems, for cures, for AIDS, and all of these things, when instead we should be spending that money on good, productive things. Should we allow these people? There are consequences to behavior. And so why is it that society has to focus on taking away the consequences of bad behavior instead of actually being more productive on spending money on rewarding good behavior? I will tell you, if there's no hope that if you catch some of these diseases that you will die, you'll be inflicted the rest of your life, like herpes, but even worse, you would be, you know, really suffer, then I truly believe kids will not take the chances. It's just like our penal system. Well, I mean, shoot, there's a good chance I'll get out. Or, you know, how bad is it in jail anyway? There is no deterrent anymore. When you start marginalizing by taking away those consequences, that feeds the enticement for these immature decisions for kids to actually risk. Fear is okay. Letting kids be afraid of the consequences of bad behavior is one of the best. It's one of the things that kept me kind of straight to some extent, and I wasn't a perfect kid by any stretch of the means, but there were those fears that did model my behavior. And I believe that had I lived a few decades more, I would be much wiser, but I'd probably be dead by now. But anyway, these are things that you have to start marketing. Start using these things against the progressives, because the empirical data supports all of this stuff. We cannot let them get off the hook on this. It's the same thing with the healthcare. There is another marketing tool out there. The reason our cost of healthcare has gone up has everything to do with government getting involved in the 60s. Actually goes back to 1953, when the progressive Democrats in Congress gave Eisenhower a Hugh, Department of Hugh, to sign, and he created the health, education, and welfare programs. That was the beginning. Another good marketing tool is the Islamic refugees. All of these types of tools you can start laying out there to say, if you're voting for a progressive, these are all the things that they're supporting. Show me in any progressive voting, if you look at how these things are going down and how they're being rammed down our throat throughout the past several decades, it has always been the progressive selling us out, ramming these things down our throats. And so every crappy program, policy that the globalists and the progressives have wanted to dump on us since before Reagan and after Reagan, and yes, every single president we've had after Reagan has been globalists. And so every single one of these programs and policies that they're dumping down our throat have come from these globalists and progressives. Look at the voting records. Make them wear this. We need to make it about the Constitution and demand compliance to the Constitution, period. That's what we need to do. And so we have to do the damage control. And I believe it's just about assembling the facts and throwing it out there, because using social media, whether it be Twitter, making little Twitter plaques and throwing it out there so that when people see, because what you're doing, if you're supporting these campaigns, or I should say going after and attacking these progressives by using these marketing tactics, then you're actually doing more than just giving that person a few dollars, because you're actually stimulating and causing questions in possible middle of the road or indeterminate, and even some blue collar Democrats that actually kind of look at the repugnancy of abortion and all of these other progressive policies, but they don't associate all of these progressive policies with a progressive. They go, oh, well, that's a nice person. And we make those mistakes all the time. So make them wear this. And this is how you can actually help more in an election process than giving the local candidates money. Now, if you feel like giving them money, then that's okay. But I will tell you, if you really want to see a change in this country, start investing in the dark red states of America, getting constitutionalists to stand up and do their job, use a little leverage, call these folks. Their information is on the web. You can call these candidates and say, hey, you know, I may not live there, but I really want you to stand up for the Constitution. And so what are you going to do about that? And put the pressure on these folks. Let me move on. I've got maybe a minute left. So when we come back from the break, I'm going to actually get into what I can with the Pennsylvania ratification debates, because there's some really good meat here. But what I want to tell you and what I want to ask, because I have to do this before I read these things, because I have to put this into context, are the words that our founding documents that I cite today and that I've been citing, are the words of our framers words of deceit? Or are the words that we have been taught from our progressive education system, the mainstream media, progressive colleges, lawyers, professors, politicians, bureaucrats, are they giving us the lies and deceits to get us to believe in the facade of centralized government, a living constitution, and all the things that are destroying our constitutional republic? I will tell you, when you start reading the Federalist Papers, when you read the ratification debates, your eyes will truly open, more so with the ratification debates, because these are legally binding documents to the contract, to the Constitution. Nobody can refute this. You go out and talk to any professor and you confront them with this, and they will probably tell you, oh, well, yeah, technically you're right, but we don't look at it that way. Doesn't matter. That's how it should be. That's the way it will be. And we will be right back after a word from our sponsors. Thank you so much. I guess we're actually going out to, I completely lost track of time. We've got a caller, so I've only got a few seconds, caller. What can I do you for? I didn't realize I'm out of time. Hello? Hello? Mr. or Mrs. Calvin? Well, I'm sorry. I realize that our telestial radios have actually kind of canceled out. And so I will get into these ratification debates tomorrow, I promise. With that, God bless. I am GR. I'm reclaiming the Republic. And with your help, we will all be able to live under a constitutional republic once again. God bless.